Charmaine's father just nags and shouts. Charmaine yells back and they have it on out. She wants to run away and get married real bad. But her boyfriend Joe is just like dad. Andre is another kid right across town. His father left his mother because she held him down. To think about his father drives him real mad. But he uses his girls just like dad. Little Tamika is a battered child. She used to hide away when her mother went wild. Was she ready to see that her mother has sown? What's she gonna do with kids of her own? I can tell that Reggie was a preacher's kid by the fire in his eyes and the things that he did. He never heard his father say, I love you. When Reggie is his son, tell me what's he gonna do? Willie Green's troubles got bigger and bigger. He was so confused, so he pulled on the trigger. He figured that he would be better off dead, so he took the gun and put it to his head. Willie had trouble when he was in school. His grades weren't good, so they call him a fool. He said, well, maybe this planet ain't the place for me. We even had trouble in my family. My father always gives my big brother flack. So just to get away, he puffs on crack. And when it came to sex, my mother said, wait. But that word from my sister is just too late. She learned she was pregnant just the other day. My good friend uptown molded her like clay. When Willie had these troubles, he always had to drink. It was the only thing that would help him think. But what he really needed was Jesus Christ. He would not have ended his precious life. But you see, it's too late to talk about it now. Because Willie Green's body is 6 feet underground. I wrote that 33 years ago. You would think I wrote it 33 hours ago. I am at a point, and I felt this just brewing in my spirit during worship. I am at a point. I should have been at this point a long time ago. And because of what we do in the community that we're located in to do ministry, I feel it all the time, but of a different sort than I was feeling it this evening, Pastor. I'm at a point where it doesn't sound right, but I know I'm using the right words. I'm begging the people of God for us to get out of the building and go get them. Bring them in. Compel them. The word of God says this. I know it by heart, but I want to read it just the same. In Romans chapter 8, it says here, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God or the people of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be unveiled. Here it comes. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. It says, in one transliteration, I'm reading King James, but regardless of your transliteration, it's communicating the same message. It says, all of creation cries out for the manifestation of the people of God. They are crying out. My heart was so heavy, has been so heavy the last 2 weeks, not just in the city of Rochester, but even in the Greece area with those young ladies that were in that car accident. And I kept saying to myself, did that one young lady know Jesus? And if she didn't, why not? Why did she not come to Jesus? It is a certainty that she had an opportunity to. But why did she not? If she did not know Jesus. I don't know if she did or did not. But I always ask the question, did they know Jesus? I think about the young man that just 7 blocks away from us was in a motorcycle accident, 16 years of age, riding down the street. They did not say exactly how he was riding the motorcycle, But he rode down the street on the motorcycle, hit a car that was not even moving, and died. Did he know Jesus? I can tell you how the funerals go. I can tell you how the memorial services go, where people are filled with sorrow. People say all the nicest things that they can say about those people, but I always wonder, did they know Jesus? But that's not so much the issue as much as we as the people of God, we have the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ and hope of salvation and eternity with Jesus when we pass from this life to the next. When we pass from this life to eternity, I should say. From this life to eternity. And it is so important for us. And my heart was I was overjoyed when Ron said, let's pray for evangelism. I was so overjoyed. I was so ready. When you came up to me, you said, when you asked me what I would exhort, I said, oh, yes. Yes. It's not a secret, and we've known about this for years, but it is getting more serious by the hour. Just in our county, the need for salvation. I don't pray for peace in my city. I pray for salvation in my city. If we have salvation, they will know who the Prince of Peace is. We will have peace because there will be the people of God. And then in our city who's crying out for the manifestation of the people of God, they will see the peace of God being manifested through us. So, yes, I do want peace in our city, but I want salvation in our city more. Yes, I want an end to the violent, at least a certain kind of violence, because the word of God says the violent take it by force. It is about time for us to take things by force. It's always been time, but more so now than ever before. That we need the peace of God. That we need to be violent in the name of the word peace comes from the word Makaira, which means to advance aggressively. And that's what God is wanting us to do. That's what God is expecting us to do. That's what Greece is crying out for. Hilton, Webster, Rochester, all of the areas, they are crying out for us to tell them about Jesus. They don't know it. There was a time when we met with resistance. We're not being resisted the way we used to be resisted because people now are listening. Things are getting a lot more serious than ever before. And we as God's people have that responsibility. We are taking the baton from our forefathers to bring forth the good news of Jesus Christ like never before. For us in this congregation right now, let us be mindful of this as we are calling forth those people. And it blessed my heart. And I was like, wow, Pastor Al really gets it. When you had opened up the door early on, I don't know. It was you who opened up the door. When you had opened up the door? Okay. I'm about to say, wait a minute. I said, no, he had on like the flowery shirt. Okay, yes. Your idea, your action. Okay, yes. I'm almost 60, so it's starting to make, you know. Okay, praise God. I do have it still there. The door is open, and I was saying, and we say that we know this because it says in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, God told Ezekiel, he asked Ezekiel first. He says, what do you see? And then God said, can these dry bones live? Because he said all he could see was dry bones. Of course, he saw it in the spirit realm. And he said, and God asked him, he says, can these dry bones live? Now, I read in a book in the 90s, it was called The Final Quest, written by Rick Joyner. And Rick Joyner said that whenever God asks you a question, it's not because he's trying to get information from you. You understand that, right? It's not like, you know, the all-knowing God says, you know what? I wonder, can those dry bones live? Ezekiel, I was wondering, can those dry bones live? Whenever God asks a question, it's because he's trying to extract something from your thought life as to A, why he's asking, and B, for you to also realize God is serious about this. He's calling me on the carpet. And so when I think about Ezekiel chapter 37 and the doors are open, says prophesy. He told Ezekiel, you know the story anyway. He told Ezekiel to prophesy to the wind. I used to think that, wow, at least we can find some peace and calm, if you will. Not the peace of God, just peace, just calm. Once we got out of the city lines. It's everywhere. I give those thoughts up 20 plus years ago. It's outside of the city lines just as much as inside of the city lines, the need for the good news of Jesus Christ, the need for us to get out, for us to be, for us to invade the darkness, if you will. This is the congregation for that. A, you believe in the prophetic. B, you believe in the power of God. C, you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to make an impact in a person's life. That's all this area needs. That is all that this area needs. Last part of that thought, I have two more thoughts and then I'll be done. The last part of that one thought is this. We have to do something that would stir it up in this community. I believe in the three C's. The three C's. Conflict, confrontation, and controversy. We can start in the spirit realm and take it in the natural. For this area to see the need for Jesus, because nothing else is working. Nothing else is working. They've tried every educational system, process that they can think of. It's not working. They can vote in anybody that they would like to vote, but they don't bring about the peace of God. And I voted, by the way, and glad I did, and glad I voted for whom I voted for. But my point is this. The things that our city needs, the things that this community needs, the things that any area needs, we know is the good news of Jesus Christ, and now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. Conflict, controversy, and confrontation. And it would be the lightest thing, but I'm willing to look at anyone in the face and say, well, what works for you? Because it doesn't seem like it's working for anyone else. Jesus is ready for all of us to be utilized of him, because all of creation is crying out for the manifestation of the people of God. They are crying out. They don't know it yet, but they are crying out. So that young lady that was in a car accident, I don't know where she was with Jesus, but the Bible says all creation cries out. For those who she left behind, they're crying out. If they don't know Jesus, they're crying out for this congregation. They're crying out. They're crying out. It would start outside, and they would come in here looking for the love of God, looking for the power of God. The second to the last thing, I have two more to say. The second to the last thing is this. As we step outside and just, Pastor, I have all kinds of ideas running through my mind, so I better consult with you first before I do some of them. But I'll do it. Oh yeah, okay. Okay, here we go. If we go, listen to me saying we as if I'm going to be, well, I just might be here. You cannot tell me I cannot be here. Well, you can tell me I'm still coming. So if we go to the road on a Saturday afternoon, a Saturday evening, and just put up a sign and ask the question, free prayer. Would you like prayer? Just say free prayer. Would you like free prayer? What works for you, or what is your decision, and does it work for you? Just put up a sign. You can have three different signs. Free prayer. We'll pray for you. What is your decision, and is it working? And let them come up and ask you. Because I've often said, when people, like where we're located right now, it's very lively where we are located in Rochester. Very lively. Very lively. And I've often said to people, well, you're bothered by this, but what works for you? Aren't you tired of resisting God? Aren't you tired? Nothing else is working for you. And then one person says, oh, you Christians are out here, and you're preaching, and you're giving food and everything. And I could no longer handle it. I'm a pretty resilient person. But I said to the young man, I said, you better be glad we're out here. I said, you know, I own this house. You're renting. I own property in this city, and I'm paying taxes on it. My man, you need to be glad that we're here. You need to be glad. You need to be glad us Christians are out here. And then I told him, I said, I want you to know that there's a scripture that says God said that his word will go forth and it will not return unto him void. In other words, it will not bounce back to him with nothing to happen. I said, it shall go with you. He sent it. It shall accomplish that which he will or what he desires for to be. I said, sir, we're out here. I said, you don't see it, but you're going to see it. You don't sense it, but someday you're going to sense the difference between us being the people of God, doing what God wants us to do, and anything else that's out there, like these cute songs that don't come to anything. So I said, sir, I says, we're not moving. He said, well, suppose I call the cops. I says, what are the cops going to arrest me for doing? Bringing hope to this community? I said it to him. Well, since that time, he walks by, what's up, Rev? Which is kind of interesting because I introduced him as Mike. What's up, Rev? I'm good, man. Yo, man, on the real though, like, I've been thinking about what you said. Well, what do you mean what I said? I said a lot to you. Well, you know, you were saying all this stuff about we better be glad that y'all are out here. I said, yeah, I remember that part. He said, well, I have to admit, man, things are different because you people are out here. I have to admit. I may not be feeling you with the Jesus stuff, but I have to admit that it's definitely working. And I just keep telling him, all right. I said, don't worry. We're not going anywhere. So you keep watching and let's see what God does in this area. And every time he walks by, and every time he walks by now, he's really watching like, what's up? Before he was like, what's up, Rev? Now he's like, what's up, Rev? Every time I see him, what's up, man? What's up, Rev? I think the conviction of the Holy Spirit is getting to him. I think he's realizing. People are walking by all the time. And I can see if this, what I'm experiencing is exclusive to the corner of Bay Street in Niagara, which is one block from the public market downtown, which is where we're located. I don't believe it's exclusive to that area. I'm thoroughly convinced that God wants it to happen right here as well. Let us love on people. Let them come. We'll pray them in. I always tell people, whenever we ask God for a setup, God will give us a hookup. What is meant by that is, Lord, send people our way. Oh, and he will hook it up. He will send them. It's good that you have a church where people believe in deliverance, where people will be delivered from the things that they're experiencing. We see it all the time. I read a report on my way here at a stoplight. Of all people, that CNN was saying that there is a need for more people that work in the mental illness field, because they have noticed that there is an increase in suicide and depression in suburban areas. I read that on the way here, and I said, "Oh yeah, well, there's a need for people that are in the mental illness field, and they're called Christians. We'll lay hands on people." We'll see them delivered. We'll see them set free. And this is the best place. This is the best place as far as God is concerned with this congregation. This is the best place for people to come to. I know other churches in this area, friends with some of the pastors in Greece. But as far as where God has you placed, this is the best place. For anyone coming down this road, this is the best place for someone to come. This is the best place for a person to be set free and delivered of depression. This is the best place for a person to come if they're thinking about suicide. They'll go from thinking suicidal thoughts to just literally dying to themselves. Oh, that was a good play on words. You caught that? That was a good play on words. I'm a rapper. We try to do that sometimes. But I was so charged up. When Ronald said to pray for people to come here, all the words that God has spoken about it, about this church growing, and you nailed it too, Mio, when you said that historically and characteristic of the body of Christ, and this is not a negative statement, this is just an assessment, that people are just going from one church to another, and, you know, yeah, so a church congregation is growing, but the body of Christ is not growing. you know, not in number, because it's just saved folk going to another saved folk congregation rather than people who need, rather than folk that need to get saved. And so let us call them in. Let us ask the Lord, and he definitely would be glad to say yes, to compel people to come to this congregation for them to receive A, Jesus, and B, what they've been looking for, because Jesus will come through for them through his people. And lastly, I say, the Bible says, blessed are the feet of them who bring good, who glad tidings of good news. And that's in Romans chapter 10. We know that God does not need us. God does not need us. But God chooses to use us to do his best work. God does his best work through us. He does not need us. He could find a horse to do what he's called us to do, and a horse would do just fine. But that's not quite the way he chooses to do things. He does not need us, but he chooses to utilize us for his purposes and his causes. And so let us be mindful of that, that as we ask the Lord to bring people in, that we will be ready for them and give them what it is that they're looking for and what it is that they need. Because this county is in desperate need of Jesus. Even the politicians are in desperate need of Jesus. And even the ones who know Jesus, because I know a couple of them who do, they need a greater depth of the anointing of God's Spirit in their lives. Excuse me. They need to have reckless abandon to the Lord Jesus Christ and his will. That's what they need. That they would stand up with conviction and say, yes, I was voted in by different people, but I have to say what the Lord tells me to say, and I have to make decisions based upon God's authoritative word. And so here we are, as I'm getting ready to pray. Here we are. Let's go get them. Let's go get them. Let's ask the Lord to send them here. The best time to go to church, I think, is on a Saturday, because people are getting ready to make plans to do other things, and all of a sudden they come in at 1619 Manitou Road, and all of a sudden, why am I driving in here? Don't worry, you're fine. You'll be fine. Well, who are you people? You'll get to know us real well. Well, what goes on here? Well, we're glad that you asked. That's what God wants us to do, how God wants us to be. I can't believe I'm going to read one thing here. I've not ever read this publicly before, but I think this is it. I think this is the first time I should ever read this. I have an open Bible from the 80s. And in there, because it's always been in my heart for evangelism. I'm glad to do what God has called me to do and everything. But if God says, Mike, all I want you to do is just go out and just evangelize only. That's it. Just preach the gospel and compel people to come to him, I would be fine. And I would not go kicking and screaming. But when I came to the Lord and this Bible was given to me, I read this, and I read this quite often, but I've not ever read it publicly. But I think this moment merits that, and then I will close in a word of prayer. Shows you how much I... And by the way, it's not a Bible verse. It's something that was written about evangelism. So I just want to read that real quick. I can't believe I can't find. Okay, but just bear with me. Thank you so much for your patience with me. Okay, I can't believe this is happening to me. Okay, here it is. Here it is. Okay. No, that's not it. Okay. Maybe I should not be reading this. I'm going to give it one last try, and then maybe I'm just out of line by trying to find it anyway. So if I don't find it in 10. Okay. I have no idea why I cannot find something that I find myself reading all the time. This is very bizarre for me. Okay, well, Okay. Yeah, that sounds good to me. I have to tell you this honestly, that I'm always honored to be, every time I have come here, whether I have come here to be a part of something that's taking place, or just to participate in what God is doing here, I have always felt spiritually overwhelmed by being here. Pastor Al, I know you're just a man. I know that. I understand that. In terms of the fact that you are a human being, just a man, but you're not just a man because of what God has done in your life and has done in this ministry. And I always feel unworthy is not the right word. Unqualified to be here. That's the word. I feel unqualified to be here, but thank you so much. And I guess I should not feel that way because I've been doing this for 31 years. But that's okay because it's the presence of God. And as long as it's the presence of God, then I'm fine. I'm going to turn a few more pages. If I don't find it, then I just would resolve that I'm not supposed to be reading this. I thought it was something great to read. Okay. There it goes. Just as I said it. It said, give us a watchword for the hour, a thrilling word, a word of power, a battle cry, a flaming breath, a call to conquest or to death, a word to rouse the church from rest, to heed the masses' high behest. The call is given, ye hosts arise, the watchword is evangelize. To fallen men, a dying race, make known the gift of the gospel of grace. The world that now in darkness lies, O Church of Jesus, evangelize. That's the bottom line. They need us. They need us that desperately. Let us evangelize. Let us reach them. May we compel the people to come in. They will come. They will come. If they won't come, then why would we ask God in the first place? And why would he tell us to do so? So they will come. Let us be prepared with the love. Let us be prepared with the power. Let us be prepared with the, literally, what his word says, the manifestation of the people of God that the world is waiting on. And so, Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be in your presence, to eat of your word, Lord God, knowing that your word is truth, knowing, Lord, that really this world is hungering and thirsting for righteousness. They may not realize it, Lord, but we ask even now that you utilize us. Prepare our hearts, Lord God. Prepare us in our minds. May our mindset be such that we'll be focused on what it is that you're saying to us at that particular moment, to bring the good news of your son Jesus to a wicked and perverse world. Father, just as your word says that all of creation is crying out for the manifestation of your people, and we are your people. Father, may we be focused on that. Father, we ask that you will remind us that we asked you and that we will be at the top of our A game at all times, prepared to love on those who are used to not being loved at all. That we will lay hands on people and they will be healed when they had no hope of their physical condition changing. Father, may they receive joy in exchange for sadness. May they experience hope, Lord God, when there's depression. And Father, when they're thinking of suicide, when they come here, they will understand salvation. And so, Father, we know that you have nothing but good in store for us as you utilize us. But then secondly, Lord, for those who are outside, walking in darkness, if they see this place as a beacon of light and a beacon of hope, and that if they walk on these grounds while they are yet in this building, they will know that they have come to the right place. And so, Father, we thank you in advance, knowing that these things will be done because you want them to be done, and you have called it forth to this congregation, we your people, so may it be done even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's evangelize. Let's go get them.